Very good afternoon, our dear listeners. I hope you are having a good time. This is your host, Francis Kaunda, coming with Biblical Christianity. Let me ask that we pray and ask the Lord to bless our time as we look into His Word. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in Heaven, we want to thank You once again for the privilege that You've granted to us to be able to come into Your presence. We thank You for Your rich word that is able to admonish us, to teach us, to instruct us in holiness. And now as we study, we pray, O Lord, for Your help. Pray specifically for this series that we are doing on studying the Bible, that, Lord, You might enable us to have a clear mind and to be able to understand the things that we are learning. Pray for the speaker and pray for those who are going to hear, that, Lord, You might bless both. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our dear listeners, we began a series entitled How to Study the Bible. And the whole purpose for this program is to be able to get to a place, hopefully, where you and I can come to the scriptures and be able to study them for ourselves and also study them to preach or teach others. And we began with an introduction last week. We said a proper hermeneutic or a proper study of the Bible will depend on two things. Number one, your view of scripture. That is, how you view scripture will really determine how exactly you are going to come to the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 3:16-17, 2 Corinthians again chapter 3:16-17, we are told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and then the Bible goes on to say, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. But we also noted that your view of man will also affect how you interpret the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9 says, man's heart is deceitful and no one can understand it. And so if your view of man is what we are being taught today by those people who have done psychology and other things, who are basically telling us there is nothing wrong with man, man is basically good, what is a problem is has to do with his circumstances. Otherwise, man himself is okay. You take a child to want to find out what the problem is, and they tell you there's nothing wrong with your child. The problem is that, remember, you lost your wife, the child lost the mother many years ago, and the effect has been great because of that. And that's what the problem is. So we just need to help him to come to a place. I mean, that is a lie. The Bible talks about sin. Man is a sinner. Man does what he does because he's a sinner. So your view of man really will affect that. And then we said there are two systems of interpretation, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. When we come to the Bible, we are, as it were, are wearing a lens. And we are seeing the scriptures through one of these two lenses. The first one we noted was allegorical method. Allegorical method. The other name for this would be the symbolic spiritual method. This is a kind of interpretation that seeks for hidden meaning. There has to be a spiritual meaning behind this passage. In this kind of interpretation, the biblical words and events in the Bible interpreted symbolically, apart from their normal and natural sense. So this is the first lens through which people read the scriptures. The second lens is the natural method. The other name for this one is the literal grammatical historical method. In this method, you are taking the normal natural sense of the words and you are interpreting them rather. You are taking them as they are, as that to the meaning. And we noted here that there are three components that are important: the issue of grammar, the issue of history or culture, and then the kind of literature that you are dealing with. We ended last broadcast with two important questions that must always be asked in order. Two important questions. And the first question is, when you read a passage or you read a book, whatever you read, the first question is, what did this mean to the original listener? What did it mean? How would the person whom the Apostle Paul is writing to, for example, have understood what I'm reading? That's the first question. The second question, what does this mean to me? And these two questions must be asked in that order if we are going to be appropriate and accurate with our interpretation. Okay, we would like to progress, and now we come to a place where I would like to make a statement that these two important questions are further understood. The answers are found to these two questions through another filter, and it's a filter of three important questions. To do a Bible interpretation, a Bible study where I understand what God is saying, we said two important questions always in order. What did this mean to the original reader or recipient, and what does it mean to me? But then there are three questions that help us to really deal with this, and we will go just step by step here. The first one is the question. When you are studying the Bible, you ask the question, what does the passage say? Now, another way to put this category that we began to look at, it is what we call observation. So we are coming to the Bible and we would like to understand what is there or what God's teaching is to us. And so the very first thing that we do is we need to observe. We need to be able to find out what is there. That's why we have the question, what does the passage say? The next thing, let me give them to you and then we'll go one by one. The next thing is interpretation. And this interpretation, you are answering the question, what does the passage mean? What does the passage mean? And then third is application. And here, application answers the question, how does this passage apply to me? How does this passage apply to me? Okay, so let's begin with observation. Observation. And I would like to read Acts chapter 17 here, because it reveals to us a character of a group of people that must be emulated by every Bible loving Christian. In Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 11, let me pick it up from verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So one thing we note about the church at Berea, or the believers of Berea, is that they are a people who were committed to wanting to know the truth. And so even after Paul had taught, they would sit back and look through the things that he taught them to to just be able to confirm if indeed what the Apostle Paul had said was true. So, observation is very important. And in observation, really, if I could give advice, here is what I'm saying. You read and read and read and reread. That's how you arrive at knowing what is there. That's how you discover the facts of the passage. So, in observation, we're answering the question, what does the passage say? And there are questions that are very important. In fact, all of these questions, I would say they are really signaled by what has been called the five W's and an H. The five W's and an H. You will see what I mean in a moment here. For example, the first is who. That's a W, and the reason it's called a W is the first letter is W. Who? So here you're asking questions as you are studying the passage, questions such as, who is speaking? Or who is being spoken to? Or who is the passage talking about? These are questions that you are asking in order to be able to arrive at the place where you can say, I understand the facts that are here. I have seen everything. I have searched everywhere. I have looked everywhere. And I understand that this is what is there. So you are asking who? Who is speaking? Who is being spoken to? Or who is this passage talking about? And as you ask these questions, you provide answers to them. The next W is a what. What? So you ask questions like, what is happening? Or what are they talking about? Or what is it that he wants me to know? So you ask all these questions in order to be able to find out what the passage is in fact teaching. Another question is when. When did this happen? When will it happen? So that when you have answers to that question, you have the time frame, you have the period, you have at least known when whatever happened was happening. The other W is a where. Where was this said? Where did it or where will it happen? So all these are important questions that help in understanding what's in the Bible. Or another W is why. Why did this happen? Why did this need to be written? Why did they do this? Why did they say this? And all similar questions like that. You are asking about the text. And then the H is a how. So that's what I meant by five W's and an H. All the five questions we've looked at, the who, what, when, where, why, they each begin with the letter W. And then you have an H. How is it done? How did it happen? How is this truth illustrated? So these are very important questions when you're doing observation. And if you don't provide accurate answers to these questions, then chances are that when it comes to interpretation, you will probably not be able to properly interpret. Now, I would like at this point probably to do a practice with you. And if you have your Bible, I would like for you to open to Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. You open there, I would like us to do a practice of what I have just talked about. Mark chapter 1, and we will read verse 4. And this is what verse 4 of Mark chapter 1 says. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I'll read that again. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, to do a practice here, let's ask the first question. Who is this about? Who is this about? Now, I know that if I was able to communicate with you through line, you would probably have called and then given you your answer. But if you ask the question, who is this about, from the passage that we have read, I know and I hope that every one of us can say, this is talking about John the Baptist. That's how you answer the who are there. Then the next one, what was he doing? So these are the questions you are asking, and as you are getting answers to these questions, you are putting them down. You are writing them down because at the end of the day, it is answers to these questions that tip you off regarding the theme or the subject or the point of the passage. And you cannot preach from any passage without you yourself understanding it. So these questions become critical. They become important. So what was he doing? Well, he was baptizing. That's what the Bible says. He came baptizing and preaching. So you look at that, you give an answer. Where was he walking? The Bible says John came preaching in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for remission. So we know the answer where he was walking or preaching, that it is in the wilderness. When was this taking place? When was this taking place? So again, if you read the context, for example, we begin from verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing the sins. So, depending on the passage that you are looking at, you may not have answers to all these 5 W's and an H. You may not have answers to all of them. There are some that might not be appropriate regarding to what you are looking at. But the point is this. In observation, you want to discover the facts. You want to discover the facts that are there by asking a series of questions. And as you are asking these questions, you are opening the passage or understanding of the passage for yourself. That's what you are doing when you do that. But in observation, you don't only discover the facts, you actually also need to identify the repeated words or ideas. Is there something that the writer keeps repeating? Is there something that the writer says more than 3 times in 4 lines? Those repeated words become very important because they actually are good indicators of what the author is writing about. And also they help you to know the purpose of writing, the reason why the author wrote. I'll be able to arrive at those answers through identifying the repeated words or repeated ideas. An example that I have given before, but I don't know whether it was on Biblical Christianity, is that of a letter. If you receive a letter from the village, a letter reads something like this. Now, my son, I hope everyone is well there. We are also well here. I just wrote to want you to know that the fertilizer that we had discussed, it has now been dispatched, so very soon we will have it. So when you send the money, just remember the number of bags for the fertilizer so that it equals how much we are supposed to pay. And as soon as we've applied fertilizer in the farm, and I've seen that the rains have come and they've gone, I will come and visit you. Okay, let me end there. Now, if you were writing the story that I was telling, there's a word or a phrase that I've repeated at least two times, maybe three times. And it's the word, this word stands out. Once I read this letter, I cannot miss the subject of the writing. And it's because this word stands out, and it is the word fertilizer. So I can't, it would be really confusion in my head if I walked away from reading this letter and then I said, oh, my uncle has written and he wrote specifically to inform us that he's coming to visit, and I ignore everything else. I think it would be a lack of wisdom. Because clearly, the writer of the letter has intentionally repeated these ideas because to him, they are the ones that matter. And the issue, like in the example, is that of a fertilizer. So you identify the repeated words or idea, and you get a paper so that you can list down some of these things to be able to help you. Here is a helpful hint. Repeated words and phrases reveal the subject, which is the main thing the author is talking about. Through the phrases or words that are repeated, you will actually get a glimpse of what the subject is. What is it that the author is trying to communicate? But also, the more a word is repeated, the more obvious it becomes that that word is in fact a subject. And the more that subject is repeated, the more obvious it becomes that the subject that is being repeated actually represents a theme. And once you determine what the author is talking about, you can determine his main purpose for writing. And this is called the theme. So this becomes very, very important. And already, up to this point, probably you could agree with me already that Bible study is work. It is hard work. It is not as easy as many times we think. God has spoken to us through His Word, and He desires that we study the Word and understand it and be able to relate to Him. And so, the issue of studying the Bible becomes paramount importance. It's very, very important. So in observation, you are basically doing two things. You want to discover the facts that are there in the passage, and then you want to be able to identify the repeated words so that you can clearly see the connections that exist. So that's observation, and it's the very first thing that you want to do. One man said, a correct and proper, appropriate observation will inevitably lead to a good interpretation. A proper or a good observation will always, most of the time, lead us to a proper interpretation. In other words, the point is this. If you don't see what is there, you can't say what it is. That's the point of observation. Because in observation, we are just basically opening our eyes in the Bible and seeing what is there and what is said about it, and so on and so forth. Now, the true statement is that if you can't see what is there, there is no way you can say what it is. And so that's a very, very important point not to forget. And then I would like to move on to the next stage, and this is interpretation. So remember, in observation, we're answering the question, what does the passage say? In interpretation, where we have come now, we're answering a different question. And the question is, what does the passage mean? Okay, so now we have moved from what does the passage say to what does it mean? And whenever we are seeking to determine the meaning of a passage, let me just emphasize this. We must never forget that always context rules. And context, we are talking about what comes before and what comes after the passage that you are studying. The danger that is there with most of us in Bible interpretation is in fact to take something out of the context. You read a passage and you want to explain it out of context. I always give an example from Romans because I believe this is a perfect one. Romans chapter 6, you can turn there if you have your Bible. Romans chapter 6, we'll read verse 7. We are saying context rules. Context is very important for us to be able to understand what God intended or what God is teaching. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Full stop. That's verse 7. "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, here is the question that I have. What does this verse mean? Does it mean that once you die, it doesn't matter how many sins you committed, you have been freed? Or does it mean that maybe a particular kind of death that is in the picture here being referred to? So you see this example. So if somebody went and pulled this passage out of context, it can tell them anything they want to hear. Because one person can walk away actually explaining that once you die, all your sins are actually forgotten. Or another person will read and they walk out with a different conclusion. And the only way we properly interpret a passage in a case like this is to look at the context. Context rules. Context is the king. It is what helps us to be able to know whether rather we should say this or say that on a particular passage. You also need to look at unfamiliar words. If you have any unfamiliar words, you need to have them defined. Here you could use a Bible dictionary or you could even use an English dictionary. You check out other scriptures. Is your interpretation consistent with others? Because there are many people who arrive at an interpretation of a particular passage and the interpretation they have contradicts the rest of the scripture. Now remember, the Bible is a unity. And so you need to ask the question, is the conclusion that I've arrived at conflicting with something else? Or is it contradicting another passage somewhere else? So you ask those questions to make sure that you are clear. Are there any other passage that talks about the subject? Those are some of the questions that you're asking. And then take the word of God at face value. That is, take it in its natural, normal sense. Our interpretation must be literal. We take it normally as it's supposed to be. And then you ask the question, what was the author's intended meaning? Why did the author write what they had to write? Another, again, very, very important questions. Are there any cultural or historical considerations is the last question. You will find out, dear listeners, that if you and I apply these principles, all of a sudden we get delivered from the system and the situation in which we have been for a long time where we interpret the Bible the way we want. And then last application. Remember observation, we're answering the question, what does the passage say? In interpretation, you're answering the question, what does the passage mean? In application, you're answering a different question. how does this passage apply to me? That's the question that you are answering. And there are a series of questions that you can ask yourself to be able to come up with something that you could even use in the near future. For example, is there an example for me to follow? In the passage that I have read, is there an example for me to follow? Is there a sin for me to avoid? Is there a prayer for me to repeat? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there a condition for me to meet? Is there a lesson for me to learn? Is there a verse for me to memorize? Is there an error for me to avoid? And then lastly, is there a challenge for me to face? So you look at all this, you understand them, and then ask the appropriate questions, and then the answers that you get are such a big help in understanding what the Bible is saying. So again, let me just go through what I've given to you, following the two important questions that must always be asked in order. Is the issue of understanding these three questions. One is in observation, and observation answers the question, what does the passage say? And then the other one is interpretation, which is answering the question, what does the passage mean? And the other one is application, which is answering the question, how does this passage apply to me? So this is what we have begun looking at, and next week we will be getting a bit more detailed on some of these things, and also hopefully at some point we will arrive at a place where we can properly apply this to our own souls. Interpretation is every person's work. It's not just Bible students. It's not just those who are in a Bible college. Whether you like it or not, you are doing this on a daily basis. Each time you have a Bible, you are engaged in this work of interpretation, and you need to be aware of that in order for you to do the right work. Well, dear listeners, for today, this is where I would like to end. And when we come back next week, we are actually going to begin to get more into the details of introductory materials, but more so in the practical way of how do we do it and how do we even come to a place where we can confidently say, I have looked at the scriptures without butchering them, as somebody once said. So I hope you will find this information helpful, and in case you have any questions, again, we are trusting on the Lord for us to be able to communicate through the phone as we used to. For now, I would say have a good afternoon. It was a joy to be together on Biblical Christianity. This was your host, Francis Kaunda. Bye-bye.